So may I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, it's wonderful to see so many of you here to celebrate Rosmin's baptism and having travelled from far and wide to get here, which sometimes can be a traumatic thing. Yesterday I went for a wedding in a field in Sussex, and it was wonderful. It was warm. It was a lovely occasion. I got thoroughly sunburnt. Years ago, going to a wedding was a really easy thing to do. I got suited up, I fired up the car, and off we went. Done and dusted, very easy. Once I even managed, when I was having some unexpected surgery at midnight, I managed to get discharged from hospital at 10 in the morning in Cambridge and make it to a midday wedding in Nottingham just after midday, still being the best dressed man there, because people just can't do their ties up, can they? What's that about? Sadly, those days are past us now, thanks to Isabel, my daughter. Now when we need to go somewhere like a wedding, we need all sorts of bits and bobs. We need clothes. We need spare clothes. We need spare clothes in case there's a disaster. We need nappies. We need sun shelters. We need snacks. We need the high chair. We need the push chair. We need the sling. We need cowpole, of course. The list goes on and on and on. It gets even worse when we go on holiday. We have to get the dreaded roof box down. That's a sign of entering my 30s that I now need a roof box to be practical. How can someone who is so small need so much stuff? I'm sure you found the same with Karis and Rosmin. It just goes on and on and on, disproportionate to their size. And so with all this in mind, it's with some trepidation that I read the story we have in our gospel this morning of Jesus sending out either the 70 or the 72, depending which text you read, going without any sort of sensible provision at all. There's no money for food, there's no bag for their clothes, they have no spare sandals. They're sent out with nothing, not on a nice jaunt to a wedding in a field in Sussex, but rather to go out and to work, harvesting the field, which sort of brings to mind images of back-breaking hard labour in the days before mechanisation. It's back-breaking, it's hard. And by the way, there's plenty of work to do because there's no one else to help you. So off you go, without any provision. Go and do some hard graft without the things you need. And by the way, you're going out there not to a nice place, but you're going out as sheep among wolves. If I'm honest, it sounds almost as traumatic as trying to take a six-month-old anywhere, doesn't it? So we have these 70 or 72 who are sent out into challenging circumstances. They're sent to go and to heal, to find food and shelter from those who are open to their message, to proclaim judgment against those who are not. It seems a tall order, quite a big ask. And yet they go, and then they come back, all of them seeming to have a fairly good time. They found that they weren't devoured, that people actually did welcome them, that they were provided for, and that healing did take place. Most of all, they found that they could trust Jesus when they responded to his call and obeyed his command. And I say, good for them. Had a good time, that's excellent. Thank goodness that doesn't apply to me, to us. Or does it? So I think as you read further into Luke, you realise that he's actually not going to get away with that way of reading the story, that it was a story for the 70 and for no one else. See, when you read through the Gospels, there's a lot about just what it means to be a disciple. The word itself actually means a learner. And how you learnt in those days wasn't from school, from books, from university, or anything that we would think as learning today. But rather, you learnt from other people. I think this is most apparent for young children, just like Rosmin. How does she learn? She looks at other people around her. She sees what they're doing. And then she tries out things for herself, like those sunglasses. Part of the commission in this service for parents and for godparents is telling you that the example that you set is important for her growth, for her development as a person. It's a heavy and demanding role as she learns and grows, learning from your example. One that you'll need much prayer and support for, and that's why we have it in the service. So likewise, in Jesus' day, this is how people learned. They didn't learn from books or from Google. they learn from people. And in particular, you'd learn from one person, your rabbi, the great one, somebody whom you committed to be with, to follow, to learn from, both from their teaching and their way of life. You listened carefully, you watched intently, and you tried to live your life exactly in the way that your rabbi did. And so we get this term disciple, which is the one the gospel writers use for those people who decide to do that, to follow Jesus, either literally by giving up their previous livelihoods and occupations, or metaphorically by trying to live out his teaching in their lives. Now, very often that word disciple is applied to the 12, those special close followers of Jesus. So we might be forgiven to thinking that all these things apply just to them, the special group, the spiritual elite, the professionals, if you like. But that actually isn't what the gospel tells us at all. Everything that the 70 are sent to do in this chapter has all been done in the previous chapter by the 12 apostles, the professionals, as it were. Now Luke is telling us it's the job of everyone else to get on and to do the same. If you read on into the book of Acts, you see that Luke uses that term disciples, not only to mean those who are following Jesus, but to mean anyone who came to believe in him, even if they hadn't met him in person, but knew about him because of what others had told them. And this is actually what we're celebrating today with Roswyn's baptism, her becoming a disciple, her becoming a follower of Jesus, starting to follow and to learn after Christ, just what it means to be fully human, fully alive, with the help of parents and godparents along the way. When a child's born, it's a wonderful thing, but it's also a terrifying thing to be given this creature which is totally vulnerable in the world, to realise that life is one big risk, and that there are just so many things that we can fret over about what can go wrong and what can happen. Baptism is the act of tying those worries into the life of God, of knowing that this world is risky, but that when our life is joined with that of God's, it gives us confidence and it gives us faith to face these things, knowing that we are never truly alone. That's one of the things that happens in the heart of a baptism. And indeed, that's something that's not just for today, for Roswyn, but something that applies to each one of us, no matter where we are in our faith journey. We understand that following Christ can feel vulnerable, can feel risky. But what we see from this story is that following Jesus isn't a question of being strong, of having all the answers, but actually we share our faith in the context of vulnerability and of weakness, with a sense of dependence on other people. We baptize children in this church who are in need of others' support to grow and to develop. Yet all of us as Christians never truly grow beyond that need to rely on others, to rely on God, to rely on a church community. Those are things which remain part of our life at all stages. And yet as we look at this story, we realize something amazing happens. Something that the world needs to hear, that though we are weak, though we are vulnerable, though we are scared perhaps by things, that actually through the message of the 70, through the lives they lead, they're able to bring healing to a broken world and to broken lives, because they've experienced that healing of God's love for themselves. Interestingly, this is a theme which comes up in our Eucharistic liturgy. I don't know if you've ever paused to reflect on what the final prayer of thanksgiving that we often say together at the end of the service. We express gratitude for all that God has done for us in Jesus, all that we've received in bread and in wine. And then we ask him that we might do something more with us as we leave the service. The words are, may we who share Christ's body live his risen life. May we who drink his cup bring life to others. May we whom the Spirit lights bring light to the world. Today those hopes, those promises are made manifest in Roswyn's life through her baptism. But that's a call that we all have as we leave, to declare into the places that we go, that they are places that Jesus wanted to go, as it says in the gospel, and that he goes with us into them. That Jesus wants to go to our streets, to our friends, to our families, to our workplaces, to those places we hang out when we have free time. That we are sent there with him to be his presence, proclaiming peace, bringing healing, bringing the kingdom. This passage tells us that all of us have been commissioned as a worker to go into the fields, to go into the places we live our lives beyond these walls, and to bring hope where there is death and darkness, light where there is despair. Jesus tells the 70 not to take their own provisions, that everything they need will be supplied. But he says the same to us today. All that we need for this immense task he supplied by his death, by his resurrection, through the gift of his Spirit given in baptism. We've been ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. And that gives us everything we need. The 70, after this, embarked on that risky adventure, putting themselves on the line, but returning with joy, full of joy, overjoyed. Jesus promises that whatever challenge, whatever hardship we find, that we can come back overjoyed as well. It's a journey that starts with joy, the joy of Roslyn's baptism today. It's a joy that stays with us through our life as we live that out, as we find what it means, the knowledge that God is with us. That gives us hope. And that gives us joy. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.